All right, we're back with politics and more. Switched over to talking a little bit about the State of the Union speech on Thursday night. And, you know, Rosemary, my thoughts were just kind of the overall general impression from the speech. One, Biden appeared extremely angry in this speech. And from a political consultant standpoint, I would have thought that they might have wanted him to appear more, I guess, magnanimous and unifying, because he's always kind of portrayed himself as the opposite to, you know, the Donald Trump
the
and who's angry mom. And all that.
Quiet mom.
Yeah, and that Biden's the unifier, but that speech was just very angry.
Well, it's like there were a lot of bets on whether or not he would last even 30 minutes into the speech. I mean, there were plenty of slurs. Slurring of speech, and but it's like nothing too much that derailed the entire speech. And I honestly think that his cadence to be angry was a front to look like he's still young enough
that he still
and
got
energetic
it,
energetic enough to, mm-hmm. to lead this country. And I do think that Biden is kind of riding off that. It's like whatever they hopped him up on, some extra B vitamins, you know, something to
energy drinks,
some energy drinks just to try, or maybe even some nicotine to try and keep him focused. Because if you turn that teleprompter off, he is nowhere. He'll start talking about rosary beads and his dead son. So it could have been worse for him, but I think he survived it. Obviously, he's still alive. But it was a good showing for him and for Democrats. But like you said, it was an angry message, and it was not in any way a unifying message.
Well, that's the thing. I suppose, and from what I've seen in some of the articles I've read, it appears that the far left were really revved up by that.
Mm-hmm. Like that, he's like, oh, he's so young. This is the best Biden
ever.
Yeah,
versus the Republicans and us saving the democracy against all the bad Trump people. That seemed to play really well with the far left.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have to think that for most Americans who maybe are the more moderate Democrats and the independents, I would have to think that that didn't help him in the approval ratings, because, man, one is approval ratings are so low already, mm-hmm. that sort of tone did not necessarily get him new votes.
Yeah, it didn't convince any new people, but we have some clips from it. Let's go ahead with the first one.
It's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following. And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you get right out there. Those bragging about overturning Roe v. Wade have no clue about the power of women. But they found out when reproductive freedom was on the ballot, we won in 2022 and 2020, and we'll win again in 2024.
So there you can, you know, kind of hear some of the slurring of speech that happens at the end of sentences when he doesn't read the full line on the teleprompter. But yeah, it's like trying to say, it's like, yes, back in 2022 and in 2023 with a lot of the special elections, Roe v. Wade was on the ballot. But right now there is such a movement even on that particular issue, regardless of here in Alabama with the IVF issue. These things are blurred because of abortion activists. These lines are blurred not because of pro-life. The conflation of certain medical terms, the conflation of certain particular policies is starting to get cleared away when it comes to a lot of the states that are moving away from pro-abortion types of advocacy. But for him to think that this is going to make women more volatile in a way that would make them vote Democrat, I don't necessarily see that. When it comes to younger generations that are voting, they lean away from abortion when it comes to Gen Z and Gen Alpha. They're not necessarily interested.
Yeah, I just from a political science perspective, I just when his ratings were just so bad, just the way he presented that speech. I mean, obviously, it's very far left, the things he's talking about. And you could almost tell that they're going to go back to the same old playbook, that the greatest threat to America is essentially Republicans. I mean, it's almost, that's just going to be the same old retread again. But I think there's a lot of people, moderates and independents, who are starting to kind of think, hey, maybe the Republican Party does offer a better solution than the far left. Because the far left and their policies and principles are in play nationwide and in a number of blue cities. And we see what the headlines are showing, all big problems everywhere.
You know, it's like more crime, less jobs. It's like, yeah, that is the biggest problems that we are seeing in blue areas. Let's go on to the next clip.
In November, my team began serious negotiations with a bipartisan group of senators. The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen. Oh, you don't think so? Oh, you don't like that bill, huh? That conservatives got together and said it was a good bill? I'll be darned. That's amazing. Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. We can fight about fixing the border, or we can fix it. I'm ready to fix it. Send me the border bill now.
And, of course, that was one of the hugest flubs of the entire night. That's going to continue to get memed. Lincoln Riley is the one that was murdered by an illegal alien in Georgia. And it's like, and she and her family have started becoming the face of the migrant crisis that we're experiencing at the border. And he couldn't even say her name right, even while he's holding a button with her correct name spelling. So, and on top of which, the Democrat Party doesn't even like the term illegal alien, illegal immigrant. They've gone to undocumented person. So this is a big, huge flub for the Biden administration as a whole for 2024. The whole thing was not a very good look.
The irony is a number of far-left analysts and newscasters seem to appear to be more upset over the fact that he used the word illegal than that there's all these other problems with the crimes that are being committed. So he's got a lot of flack over that. But it kind of shows the far-left thinking. Is there more upset over just the use of that word illegal than some of the problems at the border?
I mean, it's that whole idea of you're a global citizen. You belong anywhere you want to be. But there's another example where someone testified in front of Congress explaining that there is a different type of executive order that Biden could use and is choosing not to right now.
I just came in a minute ago, Mr. O'Brien, but you said that the president has the authority to shut down the border right now. Under what authority do you refer to?
As I said, Section 1182F of the Immigration and Nationality Act, which was the statutory provision that was at issue in Trump v. Hawaii. It's a provision that allows the president by proclamation to temporarily suspend the admission of certain classes of aliens into the United States.
So why didn't Donald Trump use that?
He did. That's why the Trump v. Hawaii case went all the way to the Supreme Court.
But then why was it relied on Title 42?
Well, there was a pandemic on. I mean, Title 42 is pitched at a very different set of circumstances. It's specifically at a public health crisis. 1182F is pitched at a general power to manage the border in confrontation of a crisis.
So there again, you can kind of see where the Biden administration does have an issue. The fact that at the very onset of his administration, he undid all of the executive orders that Trump did at the border. So, like, Biden has the opportunity to fix this problem right now, and they are purposefully not doing it.
You know, another part of the whole State of the Union speech is obviously more regulation, more taxes. He pushed the idea of the, I believe it was a 25% tax on billionaires, paying the fair share. Same old Democrat policies of essentially us versus them play up the class warfare aspect of things.
Yeah, it's like they are still assuming that millionaires and billionaires have incomes like we do, and they don't. You can't tax something that they don't have. It's like we have higher income taxes because we have incomes. They don't have incomes. They have assets. They want to think that they can assess what someone may or may not be worth, but that's not necessarily what's going to help bring more tax revenue into the government. We're going to take a quick break right here, and we'll be right back.